You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg. And because it's Thursday, it's time for Sue Belcom and Main Street Eats.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Always my pleasure.
Sue Belcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm. And Sue, tis the season of apples everywhere.
Oh, yes. And my son has an apple tree that produced so many apples last year that I was banking on those apples this year. And he's like, well, there's not quite so many apples this year. And I said, yeah, that's kind of how it goes. I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool to make a jelly and call it Adam's Apple Jelly?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Because that's my son's name.
Adam's Apple? That's an incredible
Isn't
name.
Isn't that cool? I know, right? Adam's Apple, the man
you
of red
earth. You should do it. Yeah. Make that your next big famous thing at your farmer's markets.
Yeah. And, you know, farmer's markets have been going so well this year that people are stocking up their root cellars. But I find that apple season is the best, like caramel apples.
Oh,
or
thanks.
Apple crisp.
Yes.
Or apple pie.
Keep going.
But, you know, yep. When I worked at the newspaper in Mandan, I would walk to the store every day and eat an apple because, as you know, you were probably told when you were young that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And this comes from a Pembrokeshire proverb that originated in 1866, which I actually like better. It's called eat an apple on going to bed and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread.
Was the doctor a barber back then?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah, right? That would be scary. But, you know, eating apples is good for you, not necessarily with all that sugar in there. And, of course, there are many, many different kinds of apples. I prefer the ones off the oldest apple trees I can find. They have flavor like none of the new hybrids
do. They're so wise.
They're so good. They have such a wild taste to them or something. You have a wonderful tree, don't you?
I do, yeah. And I have no idea what kind of apples they are, but they are a little bit extra sweet after that first frost. Like, they're kind of mid-October apples.
I'm a crab apple fan myself. I like a little tart apple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And you know, after the frost, they really get better. My grandmother had a tree that had these little crabs on it. She canned them. She would can the whole apple, and they were delightful. And I can't figure out how she did it, because the last time I did that, they completely turned to mush.
Strange.
So it might have been the kind of apple, you know, like there's certain eating apples, and then there's baking apples. And some of those nice, big, crisp, tart apples are the best for pie. Because, you know, I like it a little tart, then you put a little vanilla ice cream on it, and evens it out.
All over. Yeah.
Well, my favorite of those apples is the Granny Smith. So let's talk about baking apples.
Well, there's a couple new kinds out there like Jazz and Cameo that are also good for baking. The thing about Granny Smith is you could actually eat those as well as bake with them. And they're such a beautiful color green.
Yeah.
You'll always know a Granny Smith because they never get red. And, of course, once they're in a pie, you don't care what color they are. So, you know, cinnamon colored. But then they have I love Honeycrisp apples. We had a Honeycrisp tree that produced the most wonderful eating apples. That apple tree was actually developed in Minnesota through extension, I believe.
Yeah.
And that is right up there with Pink Ladies, which are pretty good, too.
Yeah. Can you tell by look or by just easy touch if it's a baking apple or just a regular eat out of hand apple or what have you, ones that are going to be more tart versus more sweet? Or do you have to either memorize that list or bite into it?
Baby. So and you always want to pick out a firm apple, of course. Mushy apples are not on my radar, and we know which brand are more mushy. Oh, applesauce is good, yes. Mm. But, you know, in addition to, like, eating an apple a day is probably good for you, But, you know, eating too many, they say, would probably introduce too much fiber into your diet. But I find that really hard to believe. But you do know that there is all this excitement about apple cider vinegar.
Oh. Yes.
Also.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was doing a bunch of refrigerator pickles this year. And so I was buying a fair amount of apple cider vinegar. And I thought, boy, this is kind of spendy when I have this giant, very productive apple tree. So this year, I want to be able to make my own apple cider vinegar so that I can use it for pickling next year.
Sorry, and also honey, other you things. Can't. You can't. You what? Can't. What? It is not acetic enough. You have to. Oh. You have to be careful when you're canning that you get a 5% acetic value vinegar. So they don't recommend that, because you have no way of controlling that when you make your own apple cider vinegar.
Well, I still want to make it, because it's good for your hair. It's good for your skin.
Yes. There's so many wonderful things about it. It's antiseptic, and it's so stinking easy to make. Like, when you're picking your apples off your tree and you're processing them for the freezer or making pie or applesauce or whatever, you can actually make apple cider vinegar out of the core and the peeling that you're going to normally throw away. Hmm. And it's fairly easy to make. Have you ever had a bottle of apple cider vinegar in your cupboard long enough for the mother to form?
I don't know about the mother, but I've certainly had some in my collection for a while.
Okay, so if you and I didn't realize this, but you know, I always try to buy the as close to organic products as possible. Mm-hmm. And so here I'm measuring out some apple cider vinegar to use for a pickling recipe of mine, and this long snotty strand comes out the top, and I'm like, what the heck? I grew a mother. So you can actually save that mother, put it in the water and the apple scraps in a great big jar. You can add a little bit of sugar if you want. Sugar, of course, is something that the mother will eat to make that apple cider vinegar vinegary. And so that's one way that you can easily make apple cider vinegar. You know, like, I have a great big gallon jar. Just chop that stuff up, dissolve the a little bit of sugar. You know, it can be, like, if you have a gallon jar, probably as much as a half a cup or a quarter cup of sugar, depending upon, you know, how sweet you like that. Because the longer you let that set, of course, the more of that sugar will get eaten up by that mother. Hmm. And then you want to make sure that when you cover the apples with the sugar water, that you press those apple scraps down under the water, because with any fermentation process, the product has to be under the water so that it doesn't get moldy. And then you taste it. And to do that, you take a straw and stick a straw in there past the mother, which will probably form on the top, and put your finger over it like you used to do with your soda pops. And you can pull out a straw full of cider vinegar and then taste it. That way you're not contaminating it with a spoon or your saliva or anything like that.
This is usually like a couple weeks, I'm guessing.
Sometimes it happens as early as a week. Like my sauerkraut, 2 weeks, and it is delicious. We canned up about, and I say canning loosely. We take it out of the crock and put it in jars. We did about 10 gallons a week ago, and then we used up the last of our cabbage and created another 10 gallons of cabbage to ferment. So my house looks like a science experiment with all this stuff around.
Well, I might be starting my mornings with a shot of apple cider vinegar, because you're saying it if you have spiking sugar levels, it can be a good drink for the morning to, you know, deal with potential for diabetes, reduction in belly fat. My goodness, I might need to have two shots of this.
Well, right. It does something to the, it balances your, it creates your, the metabolism that you need. You know, if you slow your metabolism down or speed it up, that has an effect on how you digest food. So that somehow, apple cider vinegar counteracts sugar that creates the insulin that kind of helps balance that out. And there are studies about this. And there are also studies about how it kind of works as an appetite suppressant. You know, so you'll take a couple tablespoons in the morning, but you've got to be careful because it is acetic. And so it's best if you dilute it with some water or put it in a cup of tea maybe, or, you know, something that you're not drinking that straight all the time, because it will actually probably harm your esophagus if you drink enough of it.
Thanks for the warning.
Yes, of course, the taste takes a little bit getting used to, you know, but a spoonful of sugar helps some medicine go down. That would work the same with apple cider vinegar, but then you're probably not getting the health benefits that you need out of that.
We check in with Sue Belcom with Main Street Eats every week. It's always a pleasure, Sue.
Oh, thank you. It's so much fun. I love you guys.